I want you to go to the book of Job, chapter 2. Job, chapter 2, from verse 11 to 13. The Bible says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment to come together, to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights. And no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this great day. Thank you for bringing us here, Lord. I pray, O God, that you minister to us through your word. Let heaven rejoice. Let your church be edified. In Jesus' name I pray. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. My subject this morning is, do you have a friend? Do you have a friend? I may have asked that question so casually this morning, but I want you to think about it deeply. Some people have said that a friend is one who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is unavailable. Another person has said, a friend is one who understands your silence. That even when you don't speak, a friend, a true friend, can be able to understand you. Another person has said, a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. Another one has said, a friend is someone who knows all about you and still loves you. Somebody has said, a friend is one that you can call at the midnight hour and they will drop everything and come to you. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, do you have a friend? I could not have finished teaching from the book of Job without talking about friends. As I was thinking about Job, I was thinking about a man who is so wealthy. The scripture says that he was the greatest in the East, prosperous in all ways, and yet Job had only three friends. Three. Now, let me say something here. When you're wealthy, you have a lot of friends. When you are poor, people disappear from you. You really don't know who your friend is until you hit rock bottom. You really don't know who your friend is until you are in trouble. A lot of people who are surrounding you at the moment are not really known until you get into trouble. Job gets into trouble and he is sick. He has lost everything that he possessed. Children have died, camels have died, cows have died. He has lost even his health. Everything is gone. The scriptures tell us that three friends heard about it and they decided that they were going to do something about Job. And the thing that they were going to do was to go to Job and be with him. The portion of scripture we have read says these three go and they were with him for 7 nights and 7 days. Let me just advise you for free this morning, even as I introduce my message. Mark everyone who does not come to you when you're in trouble. Hear me. Mark them. Everybody who does not show up when you are going through hell and high water, they may be claiming to be your friends, but if they don't show up when you have lost your job, if they don't show up when you are grieving, if they don't show up when you are sick and they are not abroad, mark them. I don't care how much they say they love you, but I'm telling you, one of the things that you learn from this book, the book of Job, is that when they heard that their friend was sick, they ganged up together and they said, let us go and be with our friend. And they were with their friend for a long time. They would have sent a text. They would have sent a message of condolences. But a true friend does not just send a text, a true friend shows up. Help me preach and turn to somebody and tell them a true friend shows up. Yeah. And as I continue to preach, I just want you to remember what I asked you. Do you really have a friend? Do you have a friend you can count on at the midnight hour of your life? I'm not talking about people you eat with. I'm not talking about people you laugh with, because those can be many. I'm talking about people that will say, I'll stand with you. I will be there. I will leave everything that I am doing, and I'm going to be there with you. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Timnah and Temanite, they decided they were going to leave everything and stand with a friend who was going through hell. For 7 days, they were there just hanging around, and the Bible said they were saying nothing. They were quiet, silent for 7 days. Not like some of us who are quick to speak. Of course, I'm going to show you later what happened. But for 7 days, they were just silent.
saying nothing. Because when they saw their friend, the Bible says from a distance, and they could not recognize him, they wept. No words. Sometimes all that you need is somebody to stand with you, not even say anything. Sometimes all that you need is somebody to come around you and maybe hug you. They don't have to say anything. Now let me teach you some things about grief and loss and those kind of things. We are advised normally to just be quiet. Your presence is more important than what you're going to say. Just being there is so important than what you're going to say. And if you're going to say something, please think about it. Because some people say things and they end up messing even their presence. Hello? Just be there for your friend when they're going through stuff, mourning. So the Bible says they arranged themselves and they went to Job and they were there for 7 days and seven nights crying with Job, tears flowing right down their cheeks. Now you don't know what it is for a man to cry because men don't easily cry. If you see a lady crying, and I'm not discriminating here, maybe you can understand and you can say, oh, you know, ladies are emotional, so they can cry, and men are physical, and maybe they don't need, they've been taught not to cry. But this man just put aside everything. And they were crying with Job. What a message. Tears have a strong message. Tears speak more than words. Tears. Oh, tears. You can't say any way better than tears flowing down the cheeks of man crying with another dear friend. Do you have a friend? Do you really have a friend? Is my message this morning. So the Bible says they were just there and they were crying with their friend, weeping. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, weep with those who are weeping. Cry with those who are crying. 7 days of being there, 7 days of crying with a friend. And the other thing they were doing there is listening according to the scripture. Listening to Job give his story. Listening. Listening. We are told that we've been given 2 ears to listen more and one mouth to speak less. 1 mouth to speak less and 2 ears to speak more. Or just there listening to their friend. I read a book that was saying, the more I learn about people, the more I appreciate my dog. The more I learn about people, the more I appreciate my dog. And the guy went on to say the reason was he can talk to the dog only listens and doesn't talk back. Learning to listen is an art. And the friends of Job were there for 7 days, listening to the plights of their friend. what was going on, since they could not figure it out. The story was so bad that Job was not able to take care of his physical needs. And the Bible says that these three friends were offering to take care of the physical needs of their poor friend, Job. Because sometimes when you're going through hell and high water, you forget even your physical needs. You forget even to eat. You forget even to shower. You forget your own physical needs when it is too much. Friends came in to surround Job, and this guy who could not even take care of his physical needs, now they have to take care of his physical needs, make sure that he can eat, make sure that he has got water to drink, make sure the things that he was neglecting because of the pain he was going through were being taken care of. Do you have a friend? I have seen people lose their loved ones. One thing about our morning here can be very demanding because people come throughout. So you forget yourself. You forget even to eat. You forget that you are actually fatigued because you have not even slept for days. People don't sleep for days because of the mourning. So it happens in this part of the world that when people go through those kind of situations, it takes a friend to come and remind you to eat. It takes a friend to tell you, hey, maybe you need to shower and sleep a bit and take you to the bedroom, because people will be coming and knocking and they expect to see you and they forget that you are frail, they forget that you are tired, they forget that you are going through a very excruciating moment of mourning. So the friends came to Job and they began to take care of his physical need. Do you have a friend? And as I continue to speak, you will find out, you're going to begin to see how fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer of friends that you thought you had, but you gave them the wrong title. They are not really friends. Maybe they are just acquaintances. Maybe they are just people you fellowship with, but you confuse them to be your friend. Maybe it's people you go to church with, but you confuse them to be your friends. And so when something happens and you find yourself alone, you get shocked and you are mesmerized. Because you find yourself alone. Do you have a friend? These friends started well. They were there. They cried with their friend Job. They listened to Job. They took care of his physical needs until they got tired of Job and began to speak. And they began to speak, and the whole book, from chapter 3 to chapter 40, is the discussion and the exchange that they had with their friend. The Bible says the first thing they did was to actually make the false assumptions that Job is going through what he's going through because he has sinned. So they assumed Job was suffering because he is a sinner. For they said, there is no way you can be going through this if you have not sinned. Job, there is something you have done to God that guarantees and warrants for you to have this problem. And that's one of the mistakes that friends do. Friends get to a place when you're going through a lot of problems or hell and high water, they assume they know the reason why you are going through it. And as a true friend, one of the things you should never do is to assume you know. You don't know. Look at somebody and say, you don't know. You don't know why your friend is going through that trouble. You don't know. You don't know. You have no clue of what is happening to your friend. So the best thing to do is to zip. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Don't assume. So they began to assume. Now let us. Oh, you're going through this because there's no way God can allow you to go through this if you have not sinned. So if you assume that you know what your friend is suffering from and the reason why, then your conclusions are going to be wrong because it is out of wrong assumptions. Do you still have a friend? The other mistake they did, according to this text, is to lay claim they knew the will of God about Job. They said, Job, it is the will of God for you to go through what you're going through.
Well, was it the will of God? It wasn't. It wasn't the will of God.
Do you know, there was a sign that was, there was a very huge hurricane some time back in the U.S. called Katrina. It was one of the most horrible hurricanes. One of the most horrible hurricanes. That area is predominantly black. Predominantly black. And a sign was put outside on the road near a church. And they said it was the will of God for Katrina to be wiped out. How do you know the will of God towards Job? How do you know the will of God? You holy, sanctified, sanctimonious Christian, how do you know that your friend is suffering because it is the will of God? And you're so quick to rush and claim it is the will of God. So they rushed and they claimed that Job was struggling, suffering, his children have died because it is the will of God. His wife is cursing because it is the will of God. Bildad claimed to be speaking for God. Bildad claimed that he was the mouthpiece of God and that he was speaking the voice of God. Job, you're suffering because it is the will of God for you to suffer.
So there were false assumptions. There was false claims about God's will, that he was suffering because it is the will of God. And Job got annoyed, but not bitter. And I'm going to show you from Scripture. What Job did after the discussions, after the back and forth, Job did not hide his disappointment with them. And that's a key you need to have if you're having a true friend. If you have a true friend, you have got to get to that place when you are disappointed with their acts or what they say, you tell them in love. Can you say that? Tell them in love. Job 13, verse 4 to 5. Job was so honest with his friends. He said, you have smeared me with lies. You are all worthless physicians. All that you would be silent, and it would be what? You are not helping me. You, my friends, if only you can keep quiet, you have no understanding of what I am going through. You have no understanding of the pain I'm going through. You don't even know the will of God. You are worthless physicians. How I wish that you would just be silent and it would be wisdom to you. I don't want to hear you anymore because you have judged me wrongly. Job did not hide his disappointment with his friends. It's one thing for you to have a friend that you never tell them the truth. You have a friend, but you will never tell them when they have disappointed you. A true friend will take correction. A true friend will understand you when you say, this is not the correct picture, this is the right picture, and they will not insist about it. Job did not hide his disappointment, and he called them worthless physicians at that particular time. The other thing that Job did to his friends who were really rubbing him off the wrong way, after telling them how he was disappointed, he tells them, you know, I am not bitter with you. I'm not bitter. Job 16, verse 2 and 5. He said, I'm going to treat you the way, I'm not going to treat you the way you have treated me. 16 and 5. Job says, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. Job did not treat them with bitterness. When you begin to treat people with bitterness, it defiles you. And if you're bitter with your friend, I want you to get rid of that bitterness now. Because bitterness defiles you. Somebody say amen. Don't be bitter with the friends who misunderstood you. Don't be bitter with the friends who assumed they knew what you were going through. Don't be bitter with the Christians who thought they know the will of God over your life. Don't be bitter with them. Release them in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. If you're going to go through the breakthroughs that God wants you to go through, you have to release them and don't be bitter with the so-called friends, because the closer they are to you, the higher the chances of them hurting you. Job says no. Now, when you think about the book of Job, you want to ask yourself, when did the turnaround
happen? When did Job start to have his breakthrough? When all this circus was going on and people misunderstanding him, even the closest of the friends that he had, even the people who you thought, of course, they had tried, but they got tired at the point and they turned around. When did Job begin to experience the breakthrough that we all sing and celebrate? And I can tell you, the breakthrough came when Job began to pray for his friends. Job chapter 42 and 10. Look at your neighbor and tell them, pray for your friends. Tell them again, pray for your friends. Do you know I have people who I know in this history of Kenya? This history of Kenya. Most people who have been murdered politically were whisked away to the slaughterhouse by friends. Do you know? Just when I say pray for your friends, I mean it. Pray for your friends. Look at your neighbor again and say, pray for your friends. Because you're gullible, you're open, you're susceptible, you're trusting. You've got your guard down. And so your friends, if they are not really genuine and legit, they can take advantage, because if it is a stranger, you have got your guard up. But if it's a friend, your guard is down. And so the Bible says that Job began to pray for his friends. Somebody say, pray for your friends one more time. And the moment he began to pray for his friends, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the Bible says, and the Lord restored Job's losses. When he did what? When he did what? When he began to pray for his friends, God began to restore Job. I feel an anointing in this place. I feel God is going to begin to restore you. Your blessings have been hindered because you didn't know how to treat that friend that mistreated you. You didn't know how to treat that friend that betrayed you. But the moment you begin to pray for your friends, there's going to be a turnaround. I feel God in this house. I feel an anointing in this place. Your ending is going to be bigger than your beginning. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going places in the name of Jesus. I said you're going places in the name of Jesus. You will leave those people who betrayed you. You will forget about them. Don't carry them in your heart. Just pray for them. I don't know how you're going to pray for them, but don't pray those funny prayers. Just pray for them. You know, Christians have been taught to pray funny prayers. Don't pray for those funny prayers. Just pray for them. Just pray. Can I teach you how to pray for them? Have mercy on them, Lord. Just pray. Have mercy on them. Hey, come on, somebody. They mistreated me. They misunderstood me. They wrote me. They talked about me in the cafe. And yet they pretended to be my friend. But oh God, I thank you because I have a friend in Jesus. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Am I talking to somebody in this place? Jesus is a friend that will be with me in the midnight hour. Jesus is a friend that will not misunderstand me. Jesus is a friend that will carry me even through hell and high water, sunshine or rain. Jesus, do I have some people who have Jesus as their friend? Oh, come on, say Jesus. Come on, shout Jesus. Shout Jesus. He prayed for his friends. And I can tell you, most of your problems and your betrayals will come from fake friends. That means before you accept somebody to be a friend, you have to take them through the tests. Hello? That means before I call you my friend, I've been with you for a while. I have checked you out. You're not a Johnny come lately. I'm not opening my heart to a stranger. Oh yes, there is the outer court and the inner court and the Holy of Holies. You, if I don't know you, you're going to be in the outer court for a while. Then you have to graduate to the inner court. Oh, you're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Jesus Christ had the 72, the 36, the 12, the 3, and the 1, John, who was lying on his bosom. You don't lie on my bosom as a friend if you're just 70, because 72 can't. There will be Judases among the 72. There will be traitors. Oh, you guys are looking at me like, do you understand English? Mnaelewa vile mimi nasema? Job, after the discussion with his many friends, misunderstood him, assumed they knew the reason why he was suffering, made false claim they knew the will of God for Job was to suffer. And you know what? If I go through the list of your friends, they will tell me why you're struggling. They know it all. If I go through the list of your friends, they will say God spoke to them about you. That's what they were doing to Job. Claimed to be self-righteous, sanctimonious friends. And they could read the life of Job on their palm. Little did they know they had missed it. They had missed it. But Job was not bitter with their friends. I came with one message, and I want you to listen to me. Don't be bitter with them. Hello? Please talk to me. Don't be bitter with them. I don't care who it was. And I don't care what they did. I don't care what they said. This service here is to release those people from your heart, and don't be bitter with them. And if you do that, you will see the turnaround in your life. For when he began to pray for the same people that crucified him, life took another turn for the good. I'm praying for you to have true, genuine, legit friends. Shout amen.
Amen.
Please be upstanding. Do you have friends? Do you have friends who will cry? Who will leave everything to be with you? Not just send a text or a message, which is okay in some cases. But a text is only acceptable when it is practically impossible for you to be there as a friend. Do you have friends that will listen to you? Listen. Do you have friends that will go the extra mile of taking care of your physical needs? Physical needs. Please can sit down. Do you have friends that will not assume they know why you're struggling? And do you have friends, lastly,
that will not claim to be knowing the will of God, and that maybe it is the will of God for you to suffer. This was a general in all this. The Bible says Job did not sin. It's my heart's prayer that even as you go through some of these things with your friends, don't sin. Say amen. Don't sin. Remain true and faithful. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I could not have finished this book without teaching about friends. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. Give us discernment to be able to know who is who in our circles. Father God, give us true friends who will be with us in our hour of need, who will pick us up in our time of trouble. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.